Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we're into the beginning of the Christmas season, and I'm so excited because I'm going to share a new portrait of God, a new series, an 8-part series for this Christmas season. And yes, I know that's going to extend into January, but that's okay, because the stuff that I'll be sharing with you, the portraits of God within this overall portrait of God, which I'm calling He is our Christmas Christ, because as you know, I see portraits of God throughout the scripture. We're going to look at our Christmas Christ, and more specifically, 8 different portraits that highlight different elements of His nature. Oh, I'm so excited about this. And so I hope you have your Bibles and you're ready to take a journey with me through this Christmas season and beyond as we look at our Christmas Christ. And by the way, just by a brief reminder, as you're on the way, by the way, to John chapter 1, verse 1, where we're going to be starting, as you're on your way there, just a reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website. I call it the website Helping You Hear God. And it's at markpg.org, markpg.org. And on that landing page, you'll see several boxes of different types of things that I offer for you to help you hear God. One of them is a broadcast box. Click on that one. And then on the next page, just click on Portraits of God, and then you'll have a list of all of the archived messages, including this one, that you can share with others and listen over and over again, or catch up if you've missed a broadcast. So yeah, just check it out at markpg.org with lots of tools to help you hear God. Well, as is our custom, as we're getting ready to dive into the Lord's love letters, His scriptures to us, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so honored to be able to have this privilege of coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet and gaze in Your eyes and let You speak to us heart to heart, Lord. And Father, I just pray you'll help me be able to unpack these truths in Your love letters to us as we get to see You more and more clearly, as You provide so many portraits of Yourself for us so we can get to know You better and know Your ways and know Your heart. And Lord, as we look at this particular portrait about how You are our Christmas Christ and all the more specific ways that we can see that as we take this 8-week journey together, Lord, I pray it'll just be embedded in our hearts and just change us from the inside out. Oh, that's what You do best. So thank You, Lord, for this time we get to sit at Your feet and let You speak to us heart to heart. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you have your Bible, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to start in John chapter 1, because we're going to be looking at how the Lord is our Christmas Christ, and more specifically, the first of the 8 more specific portraits of God is number 1 that we'll cover today, how He is our pre-time Christ. He is our pre-time Christ. Our Christmas Christ is more specifically our pre-time Christ. And we don't think about this a lot, but this is actually the best starting place in my journey to really understand who Christ is and gives more significance to all that He's done for us. And also in times when I am struggling, times that I'm confused, times that I'm disoriented, times that I'm frustrated, angry, grieving, whatever it is, I tell you, when I remember that he is our pre-time Christ and what all that means, oh, it just helps me feel more and more cared for, protected, cherished. Yeah, so that's where we're going today. He is our pre-time Christ. So let me take you to John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1, where the Bible says this. In the beginning was the Word. Now, in the Greek, that's the word logos. In the beginning was the logos, or Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Okay, now, there is so much in this. And if you cross-reference this with another passage you'll want to jot down, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, this portrait gets even more vivid of how He is our pre-time Christ, who is the Creator. Listen to this in Colossians 1, 15 through 16. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. And whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. All right, so let's talk about this. There's four subpoints I want to talk about today as we take this journey through these two passages to see the Lord, our Christmas Christ, who more specifically is our pre-time Christ. And in looking at that, if you're a good note taker, then subpoint A is He was the Creator. He was the Creator in pre-time. I mean, I love how this passage, John just takes us way back beyond the Genesis 1:1 passage that says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that was the beginning of time. When God created the heavens and the earth and the universe, and then He created man and woman, the moment they were born, time began. The clock began ticking for their lives, right? I mean, but here's the thing, and this is what blows me away. Way before Genesis 1:1 is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, pre-time, way back, the Lord already existed. In the mystery of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian nature of God, pre-existed time, pre-time. Wow. And there was a time in that nothingness where the Godhead decided to create the universe, to create the earth, to create mankind. Wow. Okay, so let me see if I can walk us through this. I tell you, when I start chewing on this whole truth, well, let me just go ahead and give you all four subpoints, because it's hard to talk about each of them individually because I always weave together with the others. So A, He was the Creator. And our pre-time Christ was the Creator, is the Creator. B, He was before the world ever began, before the universe and the stars, the moons, all ever began. He was before that. He was without beginning Himself. He never had a beginning. The Lord God never had a beginning. He always has existed. And D, He was in eternity past. Now, there's an eternity future. In fact, when we talk about eternity, we typically think about eternity future. You know, that an eternity, and we start with our timeline, right? Whose timeline? Well, mine, you know, I was born and I'm living. And but eternity future, well, I was born on this particular date. You were born on a particular date. And if you're drawing a timeline, we typically draw a timeline with an arrow to the right. And there it goes. And we keep going and going and going and going. The big arrow represents keep on going on our visible timeline here on our diagram on a whiteboard or something. Draw a big arrow because it keeps going to the right. eternity future. But wait a minute, that dot in the middle or on the timeline where you were born, you got to go to the left with another big arrow because eternity also goes into the past. Now, this just boggles my mind, my friends. When we think about eternity, there's an arrow that's never ending that goes to the right into the future and an arrow going to the left to signify the past, and it keeps going. And guess what? That is where our Christmas Christ, our pre-time Christ, existed in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into eternity past without any beginning. That's the big arrow, into eternity past, until one, quote, day, the Lord God of the heavens, the Logos, created the heavens and the earth, things visible and invisible. Whoa. Obviously, Genesis chapter 1 tells us how he created the heavens and the earth and, you know, and the seas and the mountains and the stars and the moon and all this. I mean, the entire universe. And man, you could preach a great sermon just on this point alone by taking a journey into all the millions and billions of stars and galaxies that are out there that just boggles our mind. He was the creator of all things visible and invisible. There's things that are so far out there we cannot see. Even with our best telescope, we still can't see as far as the universe is. The creator created this vast universe and holds it in his hands. It's within the mind of God, who's existed in pre-time and eternity past without beginning. And if you ever feel overwhelmed by the things of this life, never forget that if you're a believer, your Father, your bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, the one who existed in eternity past without beginning, before the created world and universe, the pre-time Christ, has you in his hands as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. And not things, just things, the visible. And by the way, before we leave the visible, can I just say that one of the greatest times that I have in communion and fellowship with the Lord is when I'm walking out in nature, when I'm walking the back trails where I live, just in my prayer walk in the mornings, most of the time before the sun even comes up, so I can see the visible stars, knowing that there are invisible ones far beyond my ability to see. And yet that which I am able to see blesses me, knowing that my personal Savior, my bridegroom, my Father, created it all. And he's got me in his hands as well. I love seeing the wild beauty of nature. I love seeing the groomed beauty in neighborhoods, you know, where people and golf courses and stuff. I love seeing rushing water. I love seeing desert scapes. I love seeing mountains. I mean, when you look at nature, what a testimony of the handiwork of our Creator God, my friend, the pre-time Christ who created all things visible, but also invisible. And there's two types of invisibility to me. There are the visible things that are so far out, I can't see them, or so tiny at the atomic level that I can't see it, but we know it's there. In fact, I got to tell you this story. So years and years ago, I was privileged to be asked to go to Saudi Arabia, actually, and to do a Bible conference. And you know, there's certain areas in Saudi Arabia that are actually American property. The oil companies and stuff have kind of a compound, kind of an embassy. It's treated like that, and so you have legally the opportunity to teach and preach. So I was in Saudi Arabia many years ago. And one of the folks that attended the Bible conference I was preaching at last week was a professor at a local university, and he invited me to come and visit it. And so off we go. That we picked a day, and he picked me up, and he took me. It was beautiful university created there out in the desert, incredibly beautiful, and up to date. And he was actually a professor of microbiology, but he also had a hobby of astronomy. And so we were touring the campus, and we came to his particular section on the campus, and there was this a room that had a huge machine in there. And he said, "Do you have any idea what that is?" I said, "I have no idea whatsoever. That actually is a machine that helps us measure things at the atomic and subatomic level." What? I mean, it blew my mind. There's a machine that can take us down to see the invisible things that are actually, well, concrete, so to speak, manifested, physical. And by the way, invisible also means the angels. And, you know, Satan was one of those. The invisible creatures that are and entities that exist around us that we can't see. God created them. The Christ before time created them as well. Boggles the mind. But anyway, back to the story. So this professor who loved the Lord, you know, he told me all about that, and I was fascinated. And then he mentioned he also loves to see, to look in big telescopes and look out into outer space. And he says, "You know, I'll tell you something, Pastor. I'll never forget this." He said, "No matter how far out I look into space, and no matter how deeply I look into the microscopic space that this machine measures, whether it's out there or in there, I always see the fingerprints of God." I love that. It blessed me then, and it blesses me every time I think about it. My friends, no matter how far out we look, no matter how deep down we look, the fingerprints of God are all over creation. That which is readily visible and that which is invisible. God's hands are all over it, and he's all over us, and that blesses me. Wow. I'll be honest that there are times when I can feel overwhelmed by the things that are going on in this world, the craziness, I mean, the debates and the diatribes and the confusion, the complexity. It is just incredible. But then the Lord draws me into himself, and to the degree I abide in him, I will bear much fruit. To the degree I abide in him, I am reminded by my gracious bridegroom, by my loving Father, that he is the pre-time Christ, the creator of things visible and invisible, the one who was before the world, who existed in nothingness. This is significant, actually. It might sound like it's nonsense, but here's the thing. When God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't fashion something out of a matter that was already existing. There was nothing. He spoke, the scripture says in the Psalms, he spoke, and it says in Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and God said, and all this. He spoke, and somethingness came out of nothingness. Bara in the Hebrew. You know, you hear about the Big Bang Theory, and the question is, well, what exploded? It had to be something. And where did that thing that exploded come from? Well, you got to go further back. You see, science can only take us so far back, and then there's, I guess for lack of a better term, a glass ceiling, or maybe it's a concrete ceiling. We just can't see beyond the beginning of time, the beginning of matter. We cannot see or comprehend the reality of nothingness, and yet in that, quote, nothingness, there was something, and his name is God, the Logos, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Triune God. His divine nature. And when he became flesh to dwell among us, as it says in verse 14 here in John chapter 1, "And the Word of the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us." He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. The only entity ever that was created. Actually, let me correct that. Never created, because he always existed. And my mind gets blown again. The triune God, in the mystery of his Trinitarian form and existence, has always existed. And when he chose to take on flesh and dwell among us, as it says in verse 14 here, he was 100% God, a divine father, but 100% man, because he had a human mother. And that's part of the Christmas story, isn't it? When Mary was blessed by God to be the young woman that would bear his son himself. We can say it both ways. As for a season, he would take on flesh to dwell among us. And who is this that was walking among us? And who is this who abides in us, and we in him, even today? It is the pre-time Christ. Wow. Staggering. And let me give you another dimension of how staggering it is. Sometimes we can get lost in the theology of the Lord living within us and us in him, and it kind of just stays in that theoretical sense. But let me make it a little bit more personal. Years ago, I was in Beirut, Lebanon. That we had a global mission conference there that I was asked to attend and be a part of. And I had been part of a theological team from around the world, about seven of us, just helping lay down the theological basis for the ministry vision that this particular global gathering was talking about. And they were from, one was from India, one was from, China, one was from South America. We had them all over. But the man from England, a professor of one of the English universities, a longtime professor, was the head of our particular team. And I had a chance to meet him at that conference. But here's the backstory. In all of the email interchanges, as we were working through all these theological foundations, I would be posing a lot of questions because, I felt like, I was the Mickey Mouse on the team. I was a younger man than the others, and he was a professor. Actually, one of his mentors was C.S. Lewis, and that's why I felt so ill-equipped. So I had a lot of questions. I love asking questions. I love learning. And so as these email interchanges from these seven members of the team were going about, and questions would come up, I would direct them to our chair and ask him about it. And it seemed like he would always just dance around the question I was asking, never directly address it. And that was frustrating me because I really wanted to know. And this went on for months until we were leading up to our first meeting. And so in this particular case, I was in his breakout session, and we met in the hallway, by the way, and he said, "Oh, yes," I've introduced myself. "Hello, sir, I'm so-so, I'm the American that's on the team." And, "Oh, yes, yeah, that long-winded American with all those questions. Yes, yes, pleasure to meet you." And I said, "Well, I do still have some questions." "Oh, well, we'll just come to my breakout session. We'll have a great time." And we did. We went over there, and there was about 50 of us in that particular, no, there's more than that, 150 of us in that particular session. But here's the thing, questions would come up and he would still seemingly dance around it. And so afterwards I said, "Sir, could we have lunch together?" Because it was lunchtime. "Sure, I have a friend of mine." And so about four or five of us gathered around a table over lunch. And I said, I began asking questions, and he began dancing around it again, just like nailing Jell-O to the wall. And here's what he said to me. He saw my mounting frustration and he said, "Wait a minute. Mark, let me ask you a question. Do you know what it says in John 1:1? And I said, "Well, yes, sir. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." "Yes, yes, that's Logos." He said, "Yes. Do you know there's another rendering for Logos rather than Word? And it's just as accurate." I said, "No, sir. What is it?" And when he told me an additional rendering for the word Logos, I sat back in my chair dumbfounded. It's as if veil was lifted, and I just was amazed at what that additional rendering communicated, because it was the word conversation. In the beginning was the conversation. The conversation was with God. The conversation was God. And then in verse 15, the conversation became flesh and dwelt among us. And I just fell back in my chair and said, wait a minute. That he's always conversing with us, isn't he? He said, yes, that's right. And he's infinite. He's pre-time, and we're time sensitive. We're so finite. He says, yes, yes. And we cannot possibly understand all the things that he has to say to us. We can only get glimpses. Yes, yes, that's right. And I was just amazed. Oh, my goodness. He says, yes, yes. You know, can we understand all the ways of God? Of course not. But we can get little glimpses, little bits here and there. So when we have our conversations, our emails, we just kick the can down the road a little bit. And then the next time we get together, we'll kick it down the road a little bit some more. And I was amazed. And it freed me up, my friend. We cannot have all the answers of the ways of God, but we can get glimpses, and the ones that he is pleased to give us at any moment in time. That's why he says, just abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Just trust me. You're on a need-to-know basis. Why? Because our Christmas Christ is our pre-time Christ, who was the creator before the world ever began. He was without beginning. He lived in eternity past, will live in eternity future. And that is our God. That is our bridegroom. That is the one who has taken us to be one of his children for his bride. And he loves to converse with us. So Lord, we thank you for that. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, following up with Jesus, our Christmas Christ.